This is the Recency Bias. Zach Van Oss along with you. PK Subban came home. Or home number two. On Thursday night, it was all PK Subban. One of the biases. The morning after mini podcast from rabbithabs.com and the Montreal Bias podcast. Recapping, as we always do, or as we try to always do, the previous night's action. Your Montreal Canadiens 2-1 winners in regulation. Barely. But it counts, a regulation win 2-1 over the visiting PK Subans, a.k.a. the Nashville Predators. Or, if you're super fan, Sean O'Neill, the Nashville Wild. Of course, this was the first game for the Habs after the trade deadline. Habs making a couple more acquisitions on trade deadline day. Since we last spoke on the podcast, Dwight King, Andreas Martensson coming in. And Dwight King getting in the lineup on Thursday night. Steve Ott and Martensson not getting in the lineup still. Apparently, they don't want to dump all the new guys in the lineup at the exact same time. Which makes sense. Also, I don't think you ever want all of those new guys in the lineup at the same time. Because they're all just kind of... I was a huge fan of the acquisitions over the course of the official trade deadline day. I know we already talked about the Steve Ott acquisition. And that's the one that I find the most bothersome. Not a big fan of that one. Dwight King, Andreas Martensson, truthfully, I don't know much about these guys. They're bigger. We know that much. We know they're larger than the guys that left. So that's about all I know about them. A little bit bigger. Not really going to present a ton of offense. None of that secondary scoring that we're in need of. But I think they're typical Mark Bergevin moves, you know what I mean? Perhaps slight upgrades or at least a change from the makeup of what the team was already, which is clearly they wanted to add size. That seemed to be the main qualifier in the trades that Mark Bergevin was making on deadline day. Some people upset that he didn't go out and get some more secondary or even primary scoring. Considering, as many people see it, the Canadiens' window is really this year and next year. What with the Price and Pacioretty contracts set to expire in the coming seasons, and they will no longer be on such affordable deals. But Mark Bergevin, he says, I don't believe in windows. He sees more of a Mac guy. He doesn't believe in windows. And I get his approach here, is you can't be simply saying, oh, we have to win now because we've got these guys of this certain age, so we're going to sell our future. And if we come up short, then we come up short, and we're really screwed. He says, no, we'll just maintain. We'll stay a good team. We'll try and always build. We got Sergachev in the pipeline now. Problem is, after Sergachev, that pipeline gets very, very empty. There's just not a lot of great prospects in the Canadiens pool right now. Not to mention the fact that they saw this last night. They are the fifth oldest team in the NHL. That happened, I'm going to say, rather quickly, but probably not at all. Over the last 3 or 4 years, they went from one of the younger teams in the NHL to one of the oldest. Average age of, I don't know, 28.4, so that doesn't really matter. But, like, point is, this isn't a youthful team anymore. This is a team that technically should be right in, if there were a window, it would be now and next season. So, but MB says he doesn't believe. I don't know. We'll find out how that shakes out. Of course, last night, with the return of Subban, everybody reevaluating that trade once more. A heavy moment before the game as the Canadiens played a tribute video to PK Subban. Things got emotional in the Bell Center, particularly for PK, and I'm sure a bunch of you at home watching on your couch. Did make you miss him, didn't it? It did. Miss you, PK. Trade probably should have never happened. But it did. And we got to live with that one. Now he's in Nashville. Now the, you know, heard talk after the game. Okay, well, now that he's finally played a game as a visitor in the Bell Center, it's time to start the move-on process. So, I guess we'll do that. Your Habs moved on with a win. He said off the top, Brendan Gallagher found the net for the first time in 5 years. Brendan Gallagher with his seventh of the season. And of course, with 8.3 seconds left on the clock, Paul Byron also hadn't scored in, I believe, half a decade. He broke. He put on the Byron wheels, beat Pecorine. And your Canadians, once again in a game that I didn't think they were going to win, that felt like it was maybe out of reach, it wasn't nothing, they found a way. 5-2-0 now under Claude Julien. So what about the guy on the other side of that Subban trade? And let's face it, everyone calls it the Subban trade. No one refers to it as the Weber trade, as my co-host on The Big Show pointed out to me last night. It's just the Subban trade. Weber, how do you do? He had a decent game. Nothing monstrous. Well, except one hit in the first, which might have been his best hit of the season. That was huge. What do we see on Thursday night outside of PK Subban? Because it's hard to see anything else when Subban's in town. We saw Shaw take a stupid penalty. Ugh. The hell, man. I was the longest defender of Shaw this season, I think, of anybody, unless there's still defenders out there. But that was, last night's penalty was really goddamn stupid. Headed to the bench, not part of the play, completely unnecessary, gets his foot out and trips a guy, takes a penalty, puts the Canadians in a bad spot in the early going. He's got to be smarter than that. Michel Therrien seemed to struggle to get to him, get through to him. Hopefully Claude Julien can. I would have considered, I mean, Shaw's been one of the Habs' better players since CJ took over, but I would have considered benching him the rest of the game for that stupid penalty. And a lot of people say, well, Shaw, that's what you get when you acquired him. Not really. This is the most penalties he's ever taken in a season. It's by quite a bit. It's a significant jump from previous years. So if he's trying to do a little too much, but that too much is penalties. It's getting the Canadians in trouble. And they're never necessary penalties. Very frustrated with Shaw on that one. Thought he actually played pretty decent the rest of the way. He got him a strong game after that penalty. But man, put the Canadians in a tough spot that looked for a long while like it was going to be what did him in for the night. I think my absolute highlight of the night from Thursday, though, outside of the PK Subban video and him crying, Kyle Bukakis interviewing Shea Weber in between the first and second period. Shea Weber, all business, all man mountain, asked about PK Subban's video tribute and how Shea had been on the receiving end of one of those in Nashville and what he thought of that, and it was probably nice for him. Got about three words and a couple questions from Shea. And the boys in this Sportsnet studio are loving it. Speaking of loving it, Jordy Benn. Jordy the Red Beard Benn. Big game for Jordy. I really liked what I saw from him. He's more than just a beard, girls and boys. Jordy Benn showing up last night. He's really great defensively. Or at least he played a great defensive game on Thursday night. And I mean, we did hear he was a solid defensive defenseman. And not in that stay-at-home way, as you saw last night. He's not strictly a stay-at-home defenseman by any stretch. But good on the puck. Quick to react. Really liked the performance by Jordy Benn. I mean, he's no doubt an upgrade on Greg Pattern when you see what he did on Thursday. I enjoyed Pattern, but, I mean, that's an upgrade. You can't argue that one. He's going to play some nice PK minutes as well. And I say I'm a big fan of that because it's going to save Markov some ice time. So, Jordy Benn, second game with the Habs, definitely made an impression on Thursday. Let's say, off the top, Brendan Gallagher with his seventh of the season. I was surprised about it. Brendan had a breakaway at one point in the game. Nothing came of it. And it just, at that point, and myself, and I'm sure plenty of people watching at home as well, sitting on the couch going, Jesus, is Brendan Gallagher ever going to score again? Like, not looking like he has it going for him. Something wrong with Brendan Gallagher. Well, then he gets the most vintage Brendan Gallagher goal of them all. I mean, you watch that whole shift. It was just the most typical classic Brendan Gallagher goal. It wasn't classic in the sense that he was down there in the blue paint, just standing and hassling. But it was a Brendan Gallagher goal in that he fought for it along the edge, fought his way past the guy, kind of had to grind his way around the net, made a spin, ugly goal, finds a back of the net. That's a classic Gallagher goal. Maybe that'll get him going. The two overtime goals for Alex Galchenyuk in back-to-back nights seem to have got him going. I know he didn't. Like, I think he did show up on the score sheet on Thursday. I think he had an assist. Didn't score, though, but started to look more like the Alex Galchenyuk we saw earlier in the season. Looking a lot more like that on Thursday night. So that was good news. Gallagher scoring, Galchenyuk looking like his old self. Secondary scoring from Paul Byron, him getting another one as well. So overall, the third period was pretty decent by the Canadiens. I think they got themselves back to nearly even with the Preds on the shot sheet. And in the end, obviously, scored a pair of goals that counted for the win. The only other complaint I have, the no call on Fisher boarding Emelin. I don't know how the refs missed that one. That was stupid. I don't know. I don't know what a guy's got to get called for hitting from behind boarding in this league. That was clearly a hit from behind on Emelin. He was a little slow to get up, but he seemed fine. I guess just because Emelin does everything a little bit slowly. That was stupid. So the Habs win, as I say, 5-2 under Claude Julien. And everyone's saying, oh, Habs turning around. They are. Look, they're winning games. Four wins in a row, that's not nothing. Well, let's just be honest. What's the biggest change since Claude Julien's arrived? Oh, it's that Carey Price has something like a 9.48 save percentage. He had a 9.60 save percentage against the Preds. Made 25 and 26 saves. Carey Price has returned to his MVP form. And when you look at the scores of these games, you know, you got three OT winners in there. You got what was essentially an overtime winner, 8.3 seconds from the end last night, a 2-1 game. The difference is, instead of Carey Price making 87% of his saves, he's making about 95% of his saves. And huge saves. Huge saves. That's the difference. Is Carey Price is back to Carey Price, and now your Canadiens are winning all the games again. That's what's happening. But the switch in coach may have had something to do with that. We pointed out several times before, his stats fell apart after the stare, and now it seems they have recovered with Claude Julien. Also, though, not coincidental, maybe the 5-day rest was the difference maker for Price and have him returning to form. Hard to say which it is. Maybe a combo of the both. My point is, the main difference Claude Julien has made so far, or the main difference I see in the Habs since Claude Julien has taken over for them, is probably a better way to put that, is Carey Price has returned to his godlike abilities. And so your Canadiens have won four in a row. Just hanging out with a 36-21-8 record now, good for 80 points on the season. Of course, first in the Atlantic, still 6 points up on the Sens. 3 games the Senators have in hand, though. Alex Burrows contributing to a Sens win on Thursday night. 5th in the East and 8th overall in the NHL. Next up for the Canadiens is a Saturday night meeting in New York City with the New York Rangers. Should be a good one. Habs trying to put it to 5 in a row. Carey v. Lundy on Saturday night. Until then, take care.